Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the One Thing About It podcast with your host, Amani Talks. Y'all, look who I got in the building.
What's with the,
Look who I got in the building with me. Listen, y'all, this is not the first conversation I've had with this person, okay? He likes to think of himself as someone that gives advice about relationships, child, and, you know, we gonna get into it. So I got Mr. Let Go With Me. Go ahead and give the audience your socials and everything.
All right, what's up, y'all? I am Mr. Let Go, and I help people let go of their dysfunctional attachment style, okay? Mm. A lot of people have attachment issues, and that's what I specifically help. So I'm not a relationship coach. I don't give a damn about you finding a relationship with another person. I am here to help you find a relationship with yourself. And that's the difference between me and all these bums out here. But that's it.
Nice.
And
nice.
I'm on YouTube, Mr. Let Go, MRLETGO. Go ahead.
Okay, nice. Okay. I like that because we are specifically going to talk about a relationship style that I think is under-discussed in our community. But that's really one of your areas of
specificity.
Expertise. You like to talk about this a lot.
Yes.
I thought you'd be the perfect person for this conversation. So, okay. So let's get into it. Okay, y'all. Here on the podcast, please don't talk about my nails. Okay. They're just popping off. I'm about to get some press on soon. So if anybody got a little company with some press ons, I will definitely give you some promo. If y'all send me some curved French tips, short or medium, I'll give you my address to send them to me. But let's get into it. Okay. One thing about it. There is a problem in the Black community with single mothers holding their Black sons back from having healthy and positive relationships with other women because they are emotionally dependent on their sons to act as their fill-in husband that they do not have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree or disagree?
I 1,000% agree. To a certain degree, it's an... what is it? I don't want to say the wrong word where they kind of like it's almost sexual.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I would argue the same.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yeah.
If not physically, because that happens, but
it's
okay.
Not like physically, it's emotional. Like,
yeah.
You know, the reason why we want to be in a relationship with another person is not just because of sex. It's because of intimacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the same non-sexual intimacy part is what I'm saying.
Yes.
So I'm not saying the mother want to have sex with the son, but it's the non-sexual intimacy
side. It's the dependency on the son.
To
act like their husband.
Yeah, for life.
Yes, for life.
Because when he grows up,
mm-hmm.
she's like, yo, what is you doing?
Yeah.
You need to still be giving me this non-almost sexual intimacy. And you're giving it to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw this clip of this old Kevin Samuels, I guess, little show that he used to do. And
little
this,
show? Why?
Well, because I don't know if, what do I call it? A show? A podcast? Don't say that.
Rest in peace, Kevin Samuels. It's not a little show. Like, you know what you doing? She be throwing shots.
No, I
his
don't.
Little
I don't
show.
Know. I didn't know what to call it. A show, a podcast, interviews? I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, he had this guy call in. And I think he was an only child of a single mother, Black, and he was saying how he makes all this money, but that he is finding it hard to find a woman who is going to accept him because he does so much for his mother, and his mother was really hindering him.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Samuels was just like, if you feel more obligation to your mother than going out and being a man and starting your own family, then you are not a man.
Right.
And let's start right there.
I agree.
And I agreed with that because... we want to be there for our mothers. We love our mothers, of course. And sometimes we have to acknowledge that people are people. We are humans. Your mother is not perfect. Your mother did not have a husband. And she is emotionally depending on you to fulfill that role. And she is stopping you from going out and living your own life.
And
if you cannot acknowledge that, then you will never have productive relationships.
And let me say this. We don't want to be there for our mothers. Get your ass a husband to be there for you. I'll be a backup to being there for you. I'll support you, right? I don't want to be there for my children. Find your ass a husband, and I'll be the backup to being there for you. I don't want to be there for none of y'all asses. Not my mama, not my sister, not my daughter, nobody. go find your ass a husband and let him be there for you, and I'll support what y'all both are doing.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? So yes. The thing about it is, and I'm not saying I don't care about my mother, I don't care about my daughter, but it's not my role. It's not a parent's role to be there for their child after they grow up. And it's not a child's role to be there for their parent once the parent gets older. It happens, of course, but it's up to all of us to find a mate to go through the ups and downs through life with that person.
Yes.
You don't go through the ups and downs in life with your parent or your child. So whether you're a parent or whether you're a child, get your ass a husband and stop depending on your family member to feed you whatever it is that you need to be fed.
A lot of men that grow up in a single, you know, parent household with their mother, they just feel this unhealthy allegiance to their mother.
Yes.
Like, my mom can't do no wrong. There's a whole show about it. I just remember this. There was a whole show about it. I think it was called Mama's Boys or something like that. Mm-hmm. And these, you know, and sometimes the moms weren't even single. They had husbands, but they so heavily relied emotionally on their sons that they were stopping the sons from getting a girlfriend. And if they had a girlfriend, they couldn't progress. They couldn't propose. They couldn't move in with their girlfriend. And I'm just like, you have to be a little boy to really still let your mother dictate your life.
Yeah.
But I think that what it is when you see your mom grow up a single parent and you see her struggle, and even if you didn't see her dating different men, just her being single, you feel bad.
Why? I didn't feel bad. I seen my mom grow up and struggle. What? Why I need to feel bad for a grown-ass person? I'm confused. I'm the child. Why I gotta feel bad? You grown-ass woman? Like, figure your life out. What are you doing?
People feel sympathy for their parents. That's normal.
Why? I feel love for my parents. Why do I gotta feel sympathy? So, just as an example, right? I took over my household at the age of 13, okay? So, I have a different mindset versus these punk-ass dudes that you're talking about, right? Mainly because I witnessed my mom like literally ruin our lives in small increments. You know, like, she didn't do anything terrible to me. My mom was a great mother to me, but she was just not good at adulting
in her decision making.
Right? You keep bringing these bum ass dudes into this house and they keep going upside your head and you take them back. You're a doormat. I didn't say that part.
Yeah.
But you being a doormat to all these men is going to stop because I have been raised by you and you told me a man's job, because she did a good job at mothering, right? Mm-hmm. Is to protect the women that are around me, right? So I'm going to protect you from yourself. So I'm going to commence to beating your boyfriend's asses when they come over here. And at some point they're going to stop coming over because this is my house and you can make some changes and date better and get a better man, and we can be okay. But if you keep dating these bums, any one of your exes come over here, I'm beating their ass. And I beat two of her boyfriend's ass right in the front lawn to let her know. And she called the police on me the second time.
Did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
So what does that do for you? What does that do for you when now you're growing up and you had a mom that you feel like was inadequate in a way? And well, first of all, a mom can't teach us a boy how to be a man, period.
That part.
That's, you know, whatever.
You just answered the question. How does that do for me? It made me become a man because at the end of the day, I seen a problem. I diplomatically addressed it, right? Because the thing about it is, you don't get what you want. You get what you negotiate. So I literally negotiated what I needed. Okay? Hey, I need to run this house. The reason why, we're on Section 8. The reason why, you keep dating bums and they keep beating your ass. Okay? and here's the, see, I used to sell cars, features and benefits, right? The feature is me taking over the house. The benefit is I will now, I'm old enough now to protect you from your own dumbass decisions and these abusive men that you keep crying about, right? So now, with all that being said, I'm here to love you. I'm not here to make you a slave. I'm a child. I just want to be a child. I just don't want these dudes coming over here and you know, disrupting our peace, yes. Right? So I'm not against you. And guess what? I will pay your $35 a month rent. I was selling drugs at the age of 13. I could pay $35 a month. That ain't no problem. So guess what? She said, okay. But do you see? I actually negotiated with my mom. I made my mom feel safe. And I proved to myself as a male physically for beating up grown men and at the same time for negotiating a tactic for my mother that she agreed with that showed me, okay, now it's up to me to protect my mom. And for the next few years, of course, after I moved out at 18, my mom felt protected. And that made me into a man because I was able to prove myself to the world, beating up dudes and protecting my household, protect my mom, and protecting myself from the dudes that were beating on my mom. Because any one of them dudes could have did something to me at some point.
Yes. But then one could also argue, well, you're doing the same exact thing that I'm talking about in the beginning because you're saying, well, why would I have sympathy for my mom? Why would I help out a grown adult? You were.
Meaning?
When I'm talking about men feeling bad for their mothers and that's why they still let their moms emotionally depend on them, you did the same thing with your mom.
I didn't help my mom.
I helped myself.
Do you realize
how much... you were helping your mom?
Well,
because nobody else was doing it for her.
We all... You know, in commerce or in content or anything, we all are helping ourselves. And the byproduct of helping ourselves is helping other people. We make money doing content. I make money selling my Deeper Discussions car game. But the byproduct of that is helping other people. So I was helping myself. Like, it was hurtful coming home from school as a kid, seeing this man that done beat my mama ass, smiling in my mama's face, trying to get her to take him back.
Yeah.
So I'm helping myself. I don't want to see this anymore. Yeah. This is my trauma along with her trauma. So I'm relieving her of her trauma by relieving me of my trauma by being a man and protecting my house. A man is a protector and a provider, and I protected my household as a child, and I provided for my household as a child, as a 13-year-old. And one other thing, the reason why a lot of you dudes are bums in 2023
It's 2024, child.
2024, yeah. It's because you have no physical, mental ambition on how to provide for anybody. I was, I literally, you know, I'm not going to say selling drugs was a good thing, but I got outside and provided for myself. I started a job at, it was a PIC program in Atlanta. I was working at the age of 13. Mm-hmm. So I would work. Get the money, flip the money, buy crack, sell the crack,
Jesus,
pay my mom's
crack.
Rent, and buy my school clothes. But at the end of the day, I had a job.
She was talking about a little weed, not crack, y'all.
Oh, yeah, I was selling crack.
But I guess that's the era you grew up in, huh?
Well, I'm a millennial, so. Oh. I don't know what you're talking about. I identify as 27, so.
Please stop.
What? So I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Okay. So do you feel like any of that hindered you as an adult?
How? No, that made me who I am.
Okay.
I'm a coach of women because of all that. Like, I understand the plight of, you know, y'all little pookie babies, you know, all these women who got these little fatherless kids. I empathize with your kids. See, I do what I do as a coach, not for women, for the women's children, because nobody speaks for these children.
See, that's the word we're looking for, emotionally incestuous.
Emotionally incestuous.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So you can't even see what you're doing wrong because all you see is my son, but you're hurting your son by, you know, no, it's terrible. So yeah.
I don't even got to say we've seen an example. We all know that a lot of times Black mothers, mothers period, will baby their sons, coddle their sons, you know, let their sons stay home rent free until they're 35, cook their meals and wipe their butts and fold their laundry. Meanwhile, they are pushing their daughters out the door, you know. And I believe that you should be pushing your children out the door, period. So pushing your daughters out the door is not a bad thing, but do the same thing for your son. And that's why I feel like they have this, like, you know, very unhealthy emotional bonding style, because they're just like, my mommy, you know, she's done things for me that, and it's just like, they will never grow up and find a woman that they, first of all, because they're comparing their girlfriend or their wives to what their mom did for them. The love that you get from a girlfriend or from a wife will never be the love that you got from your mom. Your mom gives you unconditional love. No other woman is going to give you that. And let's just call it what it is. So you're looking for somebody to love me like my mommy. No one's going to love you like your mommy. Go back to your mommy's house. But you're, as a mom, when you enable that, you're not doing anything for your son. You're just holding him back. And now we're talking about, well, we're all the good men. They at home at their mama house. They eating Captain Crunch. They're in their footy pajamas still. But, and it's just like, we have to own up when we talk about Black motherhood to making sure that you hold your Black sons to the same standard that you hold your Black daughters to.
So with all that being said, can you agree that single motherhood is the biggest epidemic since the crack epidemic and is ruining people?
I've always said that children growing up in a single parent household and not having their fathers is our biggest problem.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
Because I want you to think about this. You know, they always talk about a crack epidemic, right? Back in the 80s or whatever, right? Well, none of us are on crack, we're on crack, and our parents weren't on crack. Some people were, but it didn't affect everybody, right? It was bad, but it didn't affect everybody. Nobody's walking around like, ah, the crack, that you know. No, but everybody is dealing with problems that came from single motherhood.
Single parenthood.
You get what I'm saying? Your single mother ruined your life or affected your life adversely in some type of way, but nobody wants to talk about that.
But to also talk about the other side of it, one thing I really hate to see is when men, somebody, they were saying, boy math is blaming the single mother that stayed and raised you, but having zero smoke for the man in your life that abandoned you. See, I don't like to see Black men speak so badly about single mothers, because at least she stayed and raised you. Where was your dad?
Okay.
Where was your dad? I mean, you could argue that your mom didn't do a good job parenting, but at least she parented. Your dad abandoned you. Well, so would you rather have a mom that's only doing 50% of what she could, or a dad that's doing zero? I mean, let's make it make sense.
Did he abandon you? Most people were not abandoned by their daughter. I mean, by their father. They didn't know who the hell their father was, because their mother didn't even know who the hell the father was.
But I wouldn't say that's most cases.
I know.
That exists.
No. I'm not saying that in particular, like the woman put the father on, you know, I'm not just saying that. A lot of these women, just like my mother, they have a baby and they move away. They have a baby and don't let the father see the child. They move away and they get with a dude and make the dude the dad instead, and don't let. So it's a lot of, so like I said, it's not about women putting the child, not knowing who the dad was. But when I say not knowing who the dad was, it's not knowing that the dad, the biological father, how important he was. And she wants to stick another dude in the child's life. Here's your daddy now, right? Because the thing about it is, it becomes inconvenient for you to have a baby daddy when you start moving on with your life. Because the baby daddy, or the ex-husband, or whatever, the baby daddy, he has the same amount of rights as the mother does. But since she has custody of the child, she starts, you can't see your child. I'm moving to another state. And I'm going to put you on child support. So it turns into a forcefulness of, why can't I see my child? And we're human. At some point, we're like, man, fuck it. I'll just figure that shit later. You know, the next thing you know, a couple months turns into a couple years. And you just be like, hey, can I see my son? Can I? No. And then it turns to another month, you know, and you just get tired. Like, what am I going to do with this woman? So in most cases, the dad did not abandon the child. The woman pushed the father out of the child's life so she can keep dominion over the child. Why? for the sake of this entire podcast so she can keep that incestual relationship with the child going.
I would say that that's incorrect.
Oh, my God. I do this for a living.
Black men do not fight hard enough to be a parent in their children's lives.
Just
they
a question.
Don't. They
just
do
a
not.
Question. Just a question. Just a question. I am agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. But just a question, though. Not saying it's right or wrong. But why is it
that they
that
have to
these
fight?
Men have to fight? The fact that they have to fight is one thing. The fact that they're not fighting enough is another thing. So both things are correct. So I'm agreeing with you. These men are not fighting enough for their child. That's the thing, right? But why is it that virtually every man has to fight to see their child? Do you understand that's the bigger issue versus not fighting enough? Because if somebody kicked the door in and I went in and fought the guy and protected you, but I lost because I didn't fight hard enough, I at least tried to fight.
But
does that make sense?
That analogy makes sense, but it's not exactly what's going on. You can't compare the two. Because,
how?
Because here's the thing. Why are you complaining about a problem that you created for yourself? I don't want to hear it.
I'm you're talking, with you on that too.
You're talking about why do men have to fight? I agree with you.
He
why would you have
her.
To? Why would you? But my thing, exactly. You created that problem.
Yes.
So now you're like, oh, I have to fight my way out of my own problems. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we not all adults?
I agree.
Is life not always mm-hmm. what we want it to be?
Yeah.
So it's just like you'll leave. So you will be like, well, I ain't fighting no more because why do I even have to fight? You know, and we are all people.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll leave that single mother to fight and have to raise the kid by herself, provide monetarily for the kid by herself. Because a lot of people, they think they have a village and they don't. They think their mama's going to help them out. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
Then they abandon them.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times it's really just the mom and her kid. You'll leave her to fight for herself, but you're like, oh, I ain't going to fight for my kid. Why I got to fight for my kid? Over a problem that you created yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When we could have all just been like, you know what? I'm good on the kids. Let me wrap it up. Let me at least get married first. Let me at least try to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that really bothers me about Black people when we talk about single parenthood is that they'll always say, well, what's the point of getting married? Because half of marriages end up in divorce anyways. What's the point of getting married? I could be a single mother in a marriage. If you use the logic of anything could happen to any situation and that's why you're not getting married, use that logic in everything that you do. Why do you wear a seatbelt? People die in car accidents, but why are you eating healthy? People
mm-hmm.
die from heart attacks when they...
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, use that logic to every part of your life.
I agree.
And I feel like men and women don't do that. They're just like, well... Nigga, it was your problem that you made. Fix it. It don't matter how hard you gotta fight. Black men do not fight hard enough for their kids. They're just like, I'll see them when they're 18, maybe.
As a father, I've always been in my kid's life. I was married and, you know... got divorced, but I was always in my kids' lives, right? If my ex-wife, for whatever reason, was like, you can't see your kid, I probably like, well, fuck all y'all. I don't give a shit. I would have, you know, I would have backed off for a minute and I would have just focused on my money, right? And I would have took her ass to court and I would have got custody, right? But in the early stage, I would have been like, well, fuck it. Because at the end of the day, if you cannot win a war, you got to back off. You got to retreat. And get your money up or get your, you know,
your resources
up and then come back. You feel me? So sometimes, I don't know because I never dealt with that. Sometimes a man, it may take 3 years for him to get his money together or something or whatever. Because the thing about it is, like as an example, Tyrese literally said he has been fighting with his ex-wife for 3 or 2 years and he spent up to $1 million in those years, right? And he's famous. He's a millionaire. That's one thing, right? But just imagine the typical guy that works at UPS or FedEx or just a warehouse or whatever. He's fighting for like 2 years in court, like
to get custody of his kid.
He might as well just pay child support and take care of his kid and don't see the kid versus fighting court because lawyers are getting the money instead of the child. So to a certain degree, it almost makes sense to back off if you don't have the mental fortitude, emotional fortitude, or the resources to fight a dysfunctional-ass woman in court. But it always goes back to why the hell do most of these men have to fight these dysfunctional-ass women just to see their goddamn kids? That's the thing. These women are fucked up.
We didn't create the court system. That has nothing to do with
women. Wait.
The patriarchy is always in y'all favor. Y'all love it until y'all don't.
No.
Okay.
See, what you're doing now is blaming the thing. Okay, it's like this.
Mm-hmm.
Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Courts don't screw up families. The families screw up the families with the court, okay? So the court is the gun. Women weaponize the court system in order to get what they want. It's not the court system that we're mad at. We're mad at the women using or weaponizing the court system against us. That's the difference, right?
But is it the woman going into the court and saying, because here's the thing, you can use any example to prove your point. And I don't believe that any example that you used is what we see most of the time. You can say, yeah, women falsely accuse men of, yeah, I'm sure that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But is that happening all the time? Absolutely not.
To get custody of the child,
No. Women don't have to fight hard to get custody of their child. They're automatically granted custody.
No.
Women never have to fight to get the man out of the house. They just leave. A woman never has to fight to get her kids. The courts give her the kids. So it's never...
They're never usually living together. You got to remember, most people who have babies together, they don't live together. They just are having sex.
That's true,
sex.
But when you were talking about the husband example, I'm just saying, like, your relationship.
People just having sex, and then... Hey, this your baby, and then now I got to deal with it or whatever. And he's like, I want to see no child. No, it's like that. But when what I'm saying is, when a man starts to fight for the child, she starts using whatever she can use to keep him back. Is all I'm saying.
Listen, if the court found him
is never guilty.
If it's
always an accusation.
No, if the court found him a fit parent. He would be parenting. That's all I gotta say. If the court found him a parent that could be like, yeah, I'm gonna split custody and it's gonna be half to the father, half to the mother. Half the time, the dad don't even want half the
you
time with the kid.
You know what usually happens? It goes back to the topic of this show. Women need full custody of a child so they can have this incestual bond with the child. See, women need control of the child. They don't want the child going over to the dad's house. Because guess what they're going to see over the dad's house that's not over here? Less trauma. We all know how dads is. Dads be laid back. Dads, you're going to sit down and be quiet. Like, dads don't have the problems moms have, right? So that's one thing. So a mom is
dads
literally...
Dads don't have the problems that moms have.
Right, so let me explain. Because it happened with my kids when we were separated, right? When I come around, my kids like, Daddy, right? And she's like, how are you Superman? And I'm doing all this, I'm doing all that. Because when a mother is raising their child, the child usually does not respect the mother. You know why? Because the child sees every single thing the mother does, and they have an easy delineation that this woman is nuts. I'm not listening to this goofy-ass woman. I look at the lifestyle you live. I look at the poverty we're in. I look at the man you're dealing with. I'm looking at my auntie. She's dumb, too. Like, the whole female, you know, because most black families are full of women. Everybody in my family is just stupid and dysfunctional. So nobody is listening to a mother. But when they go over daddy's house, most children are mad at their dad, not because he left. But they are mad at their dad because the dad did not take the child with him when he left. The child is like, you left me with this crazy ass woman. I resent you for leaving me with her.
But you know what it is, too? And I didn't want to interrupt you. I don't think that that's necessarily correct what you're saying about why the dynamic is, oh, we have more fun at dad's house. You know why they prefer dad's house? You know why they prefer dad's house? Because a dad don't give a fuck. The dad is not the primary person raising them. The dad is not the person instilling values and restrictions. Because when
values?
I was younger,
what
yes,
values
yes,
are mothers
yes. Because
instilling?
listen,
you just said they're not having incestuous relationships with a parent,
Listen. Because my mom and my stepdad, I grew up with my mom, and my stepdad, right? And my dad was also married to my stepmom. So when I'll go over to my dad's house, you know, weekends, summers, you know, all that stuff. I used to love going over my dad's house. You know why? No discipline. That nigga didn't care what I was doing. As I got older, of course, you know, you're more involved with your kids and everything. But my mom was a disciplinarian. So over at dad's house, oh, nigga, it's a party. So you can say, oh, yeah, you know, why that, you know, the mom's complaining. Why are you Superman? Because dads don't give a fuck. Okay. They're not the primary disciplinarian for their kids because they don't give a fuck. And it's the same reason why they didn't take their kids in the first fucking place.
One word you didn't say no structure, because it's a difference between structure and discipline.
Well, I should have said structure, too. That applies.
No. The mother.
Yes, it does.
Is unstructured. But hella discipline. She's going to beat your ass with a whip, a belt, her shoe. That's discipline. That's actually abuse, right? Mm. The father does not discipline because he doesn't have to, because he instills structure. Discipline is, you know, is discipline as a verb and discipline as a noun, right? But the verb discipline is actually bad. We run around beating our kids. We don't need to do that. We need to structure and add more values so a child can say, because, like, as an example, and this is a real thing, it happened two times. When my oldest daughter was like 5 or 7, she stole out of the store, right? I literally, this is structure and not discipline. I told her, never steal. Because me and my kids used to look at TV together or whatever. You know, back in the day, it was always, you know, The Cosby Show. And then we'll talk about what happened on The Cosby Show to our kids, right? So when the kids stole on The Cosby Show, I'll tell my kids, like, don't do that, right? If you do that, you're going to be out on the street. So I literally instilled structure with my kids. One day, my kid stole some out of store. She's like 7, 8. I don't remember what age she was, right? This is structure, not discipline. My ex-wife was like, what is that? Where you get that from? She stole it. I pull over. I get out the car, and I open the door, and I said, do you remember what I told you about thieves, you know, from looking at The Cosby Show? She said, yes. I said, so you have two options. You can either get out this car and go live amongst the thieves and just steal your heart away. Or you can stay in this car and never steal again, and we're going to go back to the store, and you're going to give the whatever back and apologize. But if you ever do this again, your ass going to be out on the street. And no whooping, wasn't no nothing. And she said, yes, sir. Close the door. We went back to the store. No problem.
And she never stole again?
Huh?
And she never stole again?
She stole again when she was like 18 or something. But even... this is what's crazy. Remember, I said two examples. When she was 18, she stole from somewhere, right? And the police, you know, locked up or whatever, right? I had the same attitude. Leave her ass in there. The mom, my ex-wife, no, I got to go get back. Why? I literally taught her not to steal, and I told her what stealing would get her. So her and her grandmama went out there and got her. I ain't do nothing. Because guess what? I instill structure. People make mistakes. It's no problem. It ain't like she was going to go to prison. She was going to get out. You feel me? But I was just like, let her stay in there at least a night so she can, like, fester and be like, damn, this isn't me. You feel me? And that's the difference between mothers and fathers. Mothers are always looking to save their children, just like you're saying, these feminized little boys. They're always saving their boys from adversity, right? So when they go out in the world, they don't know how to deal with adversity. They don't know how to protect their girlfriend because their mother is always saving their child. I didn't save my daughters from shit. Her mother saved her from
it. Yeah, but one could argue, sir, that your method didn't work because she stole all her life. So if her mama would have beat her ass a little bit.
She stole at 5 and she stole at 18.
So you mean to tell me that from ages 5 to 18, she never stole, but 18, she was like, oh, let me just steal again. You don't know that. She was probably stealing the whole time. And that structure that you thought you instilled didn't do shit. If she would have got her ass beat, she would have been like, oh, that hurts. Let me not steal again.
But I didn't beat her ass.
But I'm not saying either way is correct. I'm just saying.
I made her make a life choice. And by the way, I used to steal when I was a kid. I stole all my Transformers and stuff. And yeah, I had all my Christmas gifts before my mom bought stuff for Christmas. And she'll be like, you know, Santa Claus bought all, I'd be like, damn, my mom don't buy all the stuff I already stole. But that's a different story.
Oh, my God. Did you ever tell your kids that? I hope you never told your kids that.
I don't care. They're grown. I don't give a shit.
Oh, my God.
They want to go steal. I don't care. I'd said this. I said, if you ever decide to do drugs, it's your decision. I'm not going to save you from drugs. Your ass is going to be a crackhead under a bridge, and I'll bring you some McDonald's every now and then and some hand sanitizer. But I'm not saving you. Because okay. Your little nasty ass ain't going to be touching me and your little crack hands. No. Okay. You're going to be up under, I mean, here's a, you know, don't touch me. You know, here's your little, your sandwich, but see you later. You know, so, and that's structure and not discipline.
That's the lack of structure, sir.
How? I said,
what,
if
what
you
structure?
Do,
what structure?
Consequence.
That's no structure.
Do you realize structure is consequence? We have structure
that's
now.
That's not structure. Everything has a consequence. I could do anything and it has a consequence. That's not structure.
That is structure.
No,
the
it's
world
not.
Is structured. If you're a woman, I'm a man. If I was a haul off and I'm going to jail, that's structure. And I know that in the back of my head. So no matter what you say, no matter what you do, versus a man saying something, I'm going to be like, nope, 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 nope. You can punch me in the face almost. I'm going to be like, yo, get this woman. But if a dude do something, we're going to be fighting. So, because I know in the back of my mind, if I was to do that, I'm going to jail. That's instilled structure. And structure is not beating somebody. And structure is like teaching somebody what not to do. They don't have to do it. They just know not to do it. Do you not understand that?
Don't understand what? That you thought that you instilled structure in your children and you did that complete opposite? I think that you thought that you were doing something and you were quite ineffective. And I think your whole story just proved that.
I'm very effective.
No, you actually weren't. Because your daughter still did it. So you told a story about us, you really failing to instill structure in your daughters. But that's okay. No one is a perfect parent. But I'm just saying, you literally told us a story about how structure was not instilled in your daughters.
We all make mistakes.
We all do. We all do. Listen, we all do. Nobody's a...
You gotta understand,
we think our parents
crack.
Are perfect, and our parents are not perfect. They are people just like us.
Right, but you gotta understand, I sold crack. So the thing about it is, I can't turn around and just look at her like she's a piece of crap because she made two mistakes in her life.
Of course.
I'm just saying. So the whole thing about it is, me selling crack was actually my way of buying school clothes. I could have went to jail because of that and cost my mom bail money and all kinds of heartache, right?
Mm-hmm.
But due to the structure my dad taught me before she left my dad, I knew not to keep selling dope. I only sold dope to buy school clothes, and I stopped. Because for those who don't sell dope, you don't sell dope every day, all day. You buy some dope, you sell it, and you're done with it, and then you don't sell dope anymore until you have another problematic or poverty need, and then you buy some more dope and you flip it again.
I think your mother did a better job with you than you're giving her credit for, because if you think
no,
that
my
the
mom
few
did a great job
years that you spent with your dad was enough to instill structure and
when did I say that my mom did not do a good job with me? She did a great job with me.
Yeah, but
she
you're giving the credit to your dad for knowing for huh? But I'm just like, how? Like,
wait,
when did you move away from your dad?
I just
what
said
age
my
was
mom
that?
Was a great mom. I said
I
she
know,
was,
and I'm agreeing with you.
She was a great mother to me. She just wasn't a great person to herself because mm-hmm. she made bad decisions with men.
Yes, and I'm not disagreeing with that. But
me?
I'm just saying you're giving your dad credit for instilling structure in you. And I'm saying, how, nigga? Because when did your mom leave your dad?
Okay, I can easily answer that because I love this because a lot of young people need to know, like, parenthood, right?
Okay.
When I was with my dad, I had no recollection of my mother existing between the age of 1 to 5.
So you were with your dad from 1 to 5?
I was with my mom. I mean, it was with my dad.
Okay.
Right? So my grandmother, my dad, you know, because you know how dudes is, drop you at your mama house, right? Just is what it is.
His mom.
His mom, right?
Yeah.
His mama house, right? So I was at my mama house, dad house, right? So the thing about it is, and my dad just told me the story again to help me recollect everything. I thought it was at 5. He said it was at 7. So at the age of 7, 5 or 7, he might be wrong because I don't think it was 7 because I was in another state at 7. My dad, speaking of structure, every morning, I'm a kid. I'm 5 years old. He used to have me and my cousin run 10 miles in Philly to the Liberty Bell and 10 miles back. In the cold, every morning, And guess what? I used to cry at first, but I learned this is what structure looks like, right?
My dad used to make me do that dumb shit too. I hated it. I never felt like that was structure.
You're a girl. So that's the difference.
My brother, hold on.
You asked a question and I want to answer it. So my dad instilled structure. It's little things that my dad did. He told me to walk with my chest out. He told me little stupid stuff like breathe through your nose and not your mouth. You know, you're a kid. Like, you're a kid. You know, breathe. You know, like girls aren't going to like you. Just walk around. He's calling never be a mouth breather. Just little stuff as a kid. I was like, okay. So just little things. Don't do this. Don't do that. He taught me do not cry off of pain, but it's okay to cry off emotion. So if you hurt your knee, don't cry. But if a girl breaks your heart, it's okay to cry because those are emotions. See, to men, not women, understand this, it's a total difference. I'm a man, you're a woman. So before I say this, understand, you're a woman.
I know I'm a woman, sir. You don't got to say that no more.
I'm just saying, because you're going to say something.
Okay.
Crying is meant to incite help. Okay? So a person cries, it means, oh my God, what's wrong with this person, right? Men don't need that type of help.
Okay.
Right? So we don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
But when we hurt, we can cry.
Okay.
So it's one, crying, and there's another cry with just tears coming down your eyes. My dad always told me it is okay to cry, but all this hollering and stuff, that's what women do because crying is meant to incite help. So unless you need help from somebody, don't cry.
Okay.
But if you're emotionally hurt, you can cry to yourself because it's two types of crying. It's hollering and it's tears coming out your eyes. You know, it's feeling sad, right? With women, it's important for a woman to holler and cry because in a lot of cases, she needs the help, right? So my dad taught me the specific reasons why people cry, the specific reasons why men do this and why women do that. My dad was a military person. And all my life, people's looking at me like, have you been in the military? And I'm like, why? What the fuck? Why can people? Because my dad raised me, instilled in me. My mom raised me.
Yeah.
But in my mind, my dad raised me because you may not notice from a neurological standpoint, the number one area in life that you learn the most is between the age of 1 and 7.
Mm.
And where was I between the age of 1 and 7? With my dad.
Good for you. But I think that was just him. Like we said, a mom can't teach a boy how to be a man. Your dad was doing that.
I get it. But that's when your neurons actually form between 1 and 7.
I'm going to Google that.
Look it up. You can look it up. Everybody look
now.
Up. When does a child's neurons form? Between the age of 1 to 7. I was with my dad between the age of 1 and 7. Then I went to my mom. So everything to a certain degree about life that I needed from a biological standpoint, from a manhood standpoint, I already got it.
Okay.
That's why I was able to take over my household at my mom's house at the age of 13.
Because
I was my dad already.
Yeah. And
that's why a lot of you bums are so effeminate because you didn't have that installation of manhood between the age of 1 to 7. Sorry, y'all bums. Sorry.
I mean, we already agreed. A woman can't make a man. And when we have women raising men and they don't have any other man in their life to fill that emotional need as a husband, they will heavily rely on their sons. And all it does is just, it hinders the son.
Mm-hmm.
It hinders the son from growing up. He'll never find, and then really, there's just so many things that happen with it. He'll never leave home. He'll never find a wife because he's looking for his mommy and other women. You know, there's a lot of things that happen. But yeah, I feel like we don't discuss it enough. And if we do discuss it, I feel like the moms always, they don't take accountability for it. I get it. Well, I don't because I'm not a mom. But I could see why you're so close to your children. I get it. But you got to let a man just go off and be a man.
Yeah.
When you're kicking your daughter out at 18 or 21, go ahead and kick your son out too. Stop doing his laundry for him. Stop. Mm-hmm. Make him do dishes like you make your daughter do dishes.
Yeah.
All that stuff. You know, I have brothers on my dad's side, but in my mom's house with my stepdad, it was me and my sisters. So, you know, I never saw my mom treating anyone different because she had all daughters, you know. But I'm sure in other households, daughters see that so often.
Yeah.
To where they are misfairly treated by their moms.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, we need to stop this because we need more strong Black men in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And who's raising these kids?
Women.
The fathers need to be there too. So, well,
the thing about it is, I'm agreeing with you, but the thing about it is, the woman chooses the person that she lets nut in her, right? So, in other words, it's important for a woman to start getting therapy, going to the gym. I heard you talk a while ago. Most people are stupid because they don't go to the gym. You didn't specifically say that, but that's what I said.
The top percentage of people are people that regularly go to the gym.
Yeah. Stupid people don't go to the gym. If you don't go to the gym, I'm sorry. I'm not going to shoot you no bail. Stupid people don't go to the gym. But the thing about it is, you have to focus on your internal organs also, like your heart pumping, all these other things, your muscles, like your muscle mass. Like, it's dumb not to go to the gym. Yeah. Like, you're supposed to put your body through stress in order to deal with stress. So if you're not going to the gym, your body is dealing with another type of stress called cortisol versus positive stress. You know, lifting weight, that's positive stress. You feel me? But when you're not lifting weight and you're dealing with the ups and downs of life and you're not going to the gym, working it off, you're just internalizing all of your stress. And you're going to die earlier, sadly, if you don't go to the gym. Every human being has to go to the gym. You know, animals, they run, and they either running from a tiger or running after an antelope. They busting their ass every day to eat. So they're exercising. But these fat, lazy ass humans, we just sitting around looking like idiots, not taking care of our internal organs. You're stupid. I'm sorry. And when I call, you know, men bums, sorry. But just like being stupid, you can change it. You can no longer be a bum. Get your lazy ass in the gym and get around some males. Go outside. Touch some grass. Get off of YouTube. Stop being a loser talking shit about women all the time. Go meet people. Do a podcast with a woman, okay?
Is that the advice you that you're bums? Giving men?
Stop doing podcasts with dudes and do a podcast with a woman that is on your level. This is a smart-ass woman. She's not a prostitute or OnlyFans model. She's a smart-ass woman, right? Do podcasts with smart women.
No shade to the
women.
OnlyFans models.
Shade to the OnlyFans models. I don't give a shit. Like, y'all are stupid, too. So the thing about it is, sorry, but it is what it is. But the thing about it is, we need to be around the opposite sex and learning from the opposite sex more, right? And a lot of these dudes, they just around dudes. A lot of these women, they just around women. And they're just coagulating the same dumb shit.
That's what I was just talking about with Taekwon, about how men prioritize their male relationships over having healthy relationships with women romantically. And it's just like, you want to oppress a man so bad, whole time, nigga, you're about to be 40. Mm-hmm. You're in your 30s, about to be 40. You have never been engaged. You're not married. Mm-hmm. You ain't got no kids. Not, you know, but I'm just saying, like, y'all will really look for male approval only over having a healthy relationship.
I agree.
Yeah.
I love being around women. I talk to women as much as I talk to men on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love women. Like, and I don't have to have sex with, but I ain't try to have sex with you. Like, I love having just women that I'm cool with. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to have sex with these women. And that's another thing. When you surround about men all the time, you're just horny because you're around men all the time. So when you find a beautiful woman like this, you go like, shit, so, you know, instead of being like, you know, what's
just
up,
just having
sis?
A regular conversation.
And having a regular conversation.
Yeah.
Because one, you don't know how to have a conversation with a woman because you're not used to women. And two, you're so goddamn horny because you hang around these goddamn hard legs all the time.
That's true. So where do we go from here? One thing about, we already talked about it, but where do we go from here? How do we break the cycle of single mothers emotionally depending on their sons and hindering their sons in the process and their sons not manning up and going out into the world and creating their own lives for themselves?
Well,
what advice do you give? Where do we go from here?
How
do we
see my shirt?
Family. Okay.
This is
God, husband, wife, child.
Right.
Okay.
This is my brand, family empowerment. And this is what I stand for. So the first thing we have to do is start understanding that family is God, husband, wife, child. Not no damn woman and a child.
Okay, really quick, because we got to wrap up soon. One dynamic that we also have not spoke about is when it's not even a single mother. She is married and the husband is doing what he's supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. But the wife or the husband, you know, either parent prioritizes the child over their own marriage. And they're like, oh, I'll do anything for my child, but I won't do anything for my husband. You know, my child comes before the husband, mm-hmm. or the husband saying the same thing about the wife. And it's just like, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Your children should not be more important than your spouse. You married your spouse. You chose your spouse. Now, you know, this is an extreme example, but let's say, God forbid, that something happens to your child and they pass away. You can have more kids. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you can never replace the child that passed away, but you have become one with this person when you marry them. You're not one with your child. They will grow up and become one with somebody else. So you're, you know, sacrificing your whole life for your kid. And when they grow up and they get somebody new, that's why you're resenting it, too, because you're just like, I gave my whole life to my kid. Well, who told you to do that?
I sacrificed for you.
You should be giving your whole life to God and to your spouse. You give your whole life to your kid, and then you're just like, you're looking at their girlfriend, at their wife, like, you know. But it's just like, why are you doing this, sis? You're trying to compete because you feel like they're indebted to you. But that's, you did that. Nobody told you to do that.
Hold on.
But we have to wrap up. I'm sorry. We're going over time. We gotta wrap up. But stop with the foolishness and give your last thoughts on this subject and how we can move better as a people, because that's what it's all about.
Okay. All of us, young and old, we need to get our lazy asses in the gym at least 4 times a week. Mm. We need to stop eating bullshit. I don't eat macaroni and cheese.
You're lying, y'all.
I'm dead ass serious.
You're lying.
The only time I'll eat macaroni and cheese is
Thanksgiving.
Okay. I will not stop eating macaroni and cheese. Stop eating all this stupid black people shit, okay? Because the thing about it is, it's internal and external, right? It's one thing about going to the gym, but if you keep eating honey buns and all this stupid shit, stop eating cereal, you idiots. You're grown. Stop eating all this stupid shit.
Okay, cool.
So take care of your insides and take care of your outsides by getting therapy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Touch some grass. Mm-hmm. Go meet people. Build relationships with the opposite sex and stop hanging out with the same sex. Talk about dumb shit all the time. So that's what I got.
Okay. All valid. Thank you, Mr. Let Go, for coming on here, educating the young kids. Go ahead and give your socials one more time before we wrap it up here.
I am _ Mr. Let Go, MRLEGGO on Instagram, or Facebook, Mr. Let Go, MRLETGO, or YouTube, MRLETGO on YouTube.
Y'all go ahead and buy his card game too.
But Deeper Discussions card game.
It's a good one. You should have brought it on here. I thought about it, but I forgot.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next time on One Thing About It. Bye.